We are to do all things to the glory of God. This is God's command to us. Do all things to the glory of God. Or in other words, we are to be striving to display God's greatness. Display God's greatness in everything that we do, including our parenting. So when you are with your children today or tomorrow or the next day, these are opportunities for you. And the more difficult your children make it on you, the greater the opportunity. Really, you got to, by the grace of God, begin to see it that way. So you say, next time when your children are, like Randy said, throwing themselves on the floor, having a tantrum or breaking out windows or yelling or screaming or rolling their eyes, you say, thank you, Lord, because I have an opportunity at this moment in time, at this place, to display your greatness as I display you within my response and my reaction to this situation. So hopefully that'll be what you are doing. So hopefully we're going to be striving to display God's greatness in everything that we do, including our parenting. And if we do this and do it well, if we do this and do it well, then we can consider not only that our lives have been successful, but also more specifically our parenting has been successful. And this is a wonderful thing. Who wants to go through life feeling like they're a failure? And certainly parents have every reason and every cause to feel like failures. I mean, the children give you enough, don't they? I mean, don't you feel like they are giving you a double dose sometimes and really piling it on? Certainly parents can become overwhelmed by the behavior, the attitudes, the words, the actions of their children. But don't let it. Seize these moments. Because it's not the end or the beginning, middle, and end of all things. These are opportunities, so we need to understand that. So if we do this and do it well, then we can not only consider our lives have been successful, but also more specifically our parenting has been successful if we can continue to seize these opportunities as our children provide them for us. We can consider these things to be successful because our success in life as well as our success in parenting is not determined by what our lives produce in terms of earthly results. That is not how lives are measured. And aren't you thankful for that? Aren't we thankful for that? None of us in this room are probably the king of the hill. Or the ones that are the superstars of superstars, you know, that stand above everyone else head and shoulders. Most of us are pretty much down in the pile somewhere, right? So if we're measuring the success of our lives or the success of our parenting by the results, at best, it's going to be fair to middling. And at the worst, we're going to feel like total failures. But rather, our success in life as well as parenting is determined by whether or not we're living our lives to bring glory to God in all things. That's what it is. But it's all to say, fear the Lord and keep his commandments. That's the end of the matter. That's it. And in doing so, we bring glory to God. And in doing that, we have found the secret of success, both for our individual lives, for our families, for everything. And hopefully this becomes our deep-rooted conviction. But none of this is possible for us to live in this way, seizing these opportunities as they're presenting themselves, to glorify God, to display his greatness. We can't do it unless we do what Randy has shared with us. We may have the desire to do that. We may have the wanting to do that. But we don't have the strength. Some of you may leave here today saying, I know what I'm going to do with my children. I'm going to seize the opportunities that they're presenting to me, and I'm going to glorify God and display his greatness in all of these opportunities my children are presenting me. And then you're going to fall flat on your face. As you get irritated, as you become upset, as you lose your temper, and you say, where did I go wrong? Randy told you where you went wrong. The Word of God teaches us where we went wrong. We can't do what God has called us to do to bring glory to God in all things unless we do what? Bow before Him. Bow. With good hearts, fully yielded to Him. We have to do that. May God give us grace to do that. For when that is done, then we're in a position then to do what? To do the very things that God has called us to do. And those become the measurement of our success, both in life and in our parenting. So we have to bow before Him with good hearts, fully yielded to Him, which will then evidence itself by the intake into our lives and by what we're imparting to others and more specifically to our children. That'll be a testimony to whether or not you're really bowed, is whether or not there's this hunger and thirsting to bring it in and whether there's this desire to put it out. When those things are in place, that intake and this output, then you know, hey, I think I'm in the right place. And you'll have evidence to know that you have bowed before God with a good heart. Simple, isn't it? So simple. But we need God's help. So let's keep praying and focusing on what is important and asking God for His help at every step along the way. So, who exactly is responsible for making sure that as the Word is taken into our hearts, that it would then go forth to our children, so that through our prayers and by God's grace that it might be imparted to our children's lives? We're getting into a responsibility here in this time together. Who is responsible? Because we're talking about the bowing, right? We do this individually. And as we're bowed, a certain thing takes place. We get the intake and we get the imparting or the outtake. So certain things are happening. But in terms of our children and making sure that they are receiving the output, who is responsible for that? Within the family. Who is the one that God is going to hold responsible for that? Is the responsibility the father? Is the responsibility the mother? Or is the responsibility both? Who is going to be looking out over the family and seeing whether or not this work that is the outflowing of the Spirit is taking place within that family unit? Who? Whose role is it? And this is an important question. I don't want you to minimize this. For if God has in fact assigned this role, see, and here's the key. If He has in fact assigned this role, or in other words, has assigned a certain responsibility to a particular person within the family, then certainly you would want to honor it as those who are seeking to bring glory to God in all things, including our parenting. See, it all goes back to God again, doesn't it? It's not about what we want. It's not about what we think. It's about what God has declared in His Word and what He teaches. And then we bring ourselves under it because we're trying to display His greatness. So, is there someone specifically who has been assigned to this particular role or responsibility within the family to make sure that there is this impartation? Of the words of God as they flow. And there it is. It is the Father's role. It is the Father's role. In other words, the father's parental role is to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Let me read for you Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but what? Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It is the role of the Father to make sure that the Word of God is flowing out and being received by the children. It is His role. So why would this role and therefore this responsibility be given to fathers and not to mothers? Now, I don't know how you're responding to me as I'm sharing this with you. It might be a little odd for you to hear what I'm saying. I'm just taking the passage. So why? This role and therefore this responsibility has been given to fathers and not to mothers because it is the father, according to God's design, who has been designated as the head or leader of his wife and therefore the head or leader of his family. Someone had to be assigned the role. At least from God's perspective, someone had to be assigned the role. And we say, no, he didn't have to assign the role. Well, we could argue with God if we wanted to, I suppose. But let's not. Because this is not a way to honor him nor to glorify him. Let's just take him at his word. Let's just take it for what it says. God has designed the families to work in a certain way. And this puts the husband at the head or in the leading position within the family. This is how he's designed it. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that Christ is the head of every man. And man is the head of a woman. And God is the head of Christ. And even more specifically, listen to Ephesians 5:23 to 25, and you will remember these verses. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church, he himself also being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their own husbands in everything. So why would God task fathers with the role of making sure that this word is going to be imparted to the children? This word that is hopefully flowing out from individuals who have had their hearts bowed before God and who are filled with the Spirit. Why would God task the fathers with that role and therefore the responsibility of bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord in the words of Ephesians 6:4? Why? God has done this because fathers are the ones whom he has designated within the family as the head or the leader. And therefore the fathers are the ones who will bear the primary responsibility for bringing up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord rather than the mothers. This is why. How will this leading role look? Everybody wants to make something about this. They want to get down and they put it under a microscope and break it down into all its minuscule parts. What does it look like? And so all the fathers here who have this responsibility has been given to them. You better listen real careful. What does it look like? There's no one prescribed look. How could there be one look? Do you see anywhere in the scriptures that we see a chapter on how it looks? It'll look the way it'll look when we as fathers are bowed before God fully and completely with these good hearts and asking him, Lord, how would you have me to lead my family? Okay? So, every father here is going to have a different look. Now, there'll be some things that won't be a part of the look. You know, you're not going to be doing certain things that would be certainly condemned in the Word. And certainly you'd be pursuing those things which are righteous. But overall, in terms of the look of it, it's going to vary from father to father to father as he seeks before the Lord to bring leadership to his home. Some of these fathers could have a very aggressive style. Would any of you agree? Some fathers in this room, you might be one of those. But there are other fathers in this room who may not. You could have a very passive style. Is that okay? Yes. It doesn't matter what it looks like. What matters is that the father understands his role and his responsibility before God, and that they come before God, bowed before him, having good hearts, fully yielded, and say, Lord, how would you have me to lead this home? And how would you have me encourage this family in respect to the word and the intake of this word? How, Lord? So it has a lot of different looks. This is where books get sold. And I'm sorry. But what I'm giving you is, I believe, is the truth. What homes need are fathers that are bowed before God, giving up their lives to God, and just asking that simple question. Lord, what would you have me to do in order to lead this family? So there is no prescribed look. The important thing is that fathers understand that they've been given the leading role in bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And in that role, they have a great opportunity. They have a great opportunity. As they are bowed before God and his word, to put God's greatness on display as they seek to glorify God in that leading role. Wow, guys. All the fathers in this room? Do you see the opportunity? The worse you think you are as a leader, the greater the opportunity to magnify and glorify him and put God's greatness on display as you seek to do the best you can before God through the grace that he supplies. So hopefully this is what we are doing as fathers. Hopefully every father in this room is striving to do this work well, this leading role, to take the responsibility for making sure that this good word that we are taking in will then be imparted to our children. So if the father's role is to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, what is the mother's role? Good question. What is the mother's role? The mother's role is to assist the father in bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. For she, according to God's design, is her husband's helper. This is what the Bible teaches. This is a Bible church, and this is what we're sharing with you. Genesis 2:18, but the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Any of you familiar with that passage? You kind of get in on the ground floor of God's design, right? I talk about ground floor. That's the basement. And everything else is built on top of that. From the beginning, from the very first human couple, the husband, according to God's design, has been in the leading role. And the wife has been in the assisting or helping role. This is how the parenting of our children is supposed to work. The husband is supposed to be in the lead position, and the wife is supposed to be in the assisting or helping position. So in terms of bringing up our children, the discipline and instruction of the Lord, the husband is in the leading role. And the wife is in the assisting role. They are working together in order to bring this about, as they are together bowed before God. The father is asking, Lord, how would you have me to lead? The mother is asking, how would you have me to assist? Now, how will this assisting role look? There's no one, again, prescribed look, is there? You can write a book if you want, but it's just a book with human opinions. And if it's your book, it's your opinion. What is important is that mothers understand that they have been given an assisting role in bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And that in that role, they have a great opportunity as they are bowed before God and His Word to put God's greatness on display as they seek to glorify God in their assisting role. So, Lord, how can I assist my husband, the father of our children, in his leading role? How can we work together to bring our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord? God give grace. And how will that look? Some wives have a certain skill set, and other wives have a different skill set. Some have one personality, another one has a different personality. You know what? God is going to have to take your skills and your personalities and going to take that and help you to answer the question you're addressing to Him. Lord, how can I assist my husband? He'll talk to you. He'll speak to you. He'll bring conviction to your heart and life. But whatever you do, be done in full of faith, believing that is what you need to be doing. So if you're a mother, do you believe that it is your role to assist your husband in bringing up children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord? I would like to think that you do. Because that is what God has given you as your role. And I'd hope the husbands would be able to say, the fathers, I've been given the leading role. And that hopefully together, both in the leading and the assistant role, if both of them are bowed before God, they will find their way in knowing how to bring this discipline and instruction to their children. Now, if you are a single parent, this is always a question. Obviously, you will not have the assistance of a spouse. Does this not change the work that still needs to be done, does it? The work's still there. Your children will still need to be brought up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, whether you are a single father or a single mother. Obviously, this will not be easy. And we need to pray for single parents. But the good news is, the Bible teaches us, God's grace is sufficient. We know that in those times of need, there will be grace there for your need. And He will take you where you need to go. So now let's look at what it means to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. To bring up means to nurture, to bring to maturity. It is a command, and therefore it is not an option for parents. So whatever we believe maturity to be, this is what we need to be striving for in respect to our children. So we're supposed to bring them up to maturity. So you may have a view of what that is. Well, strive for it. And we need to continue to strive for it. Until that maturity is realized. And what are the specific means that are listed by which we are to accomplish this task? The first means listed in order to bring up children to maturity is discipline. That's the first word. Bring them up to what? Bring them up in the discipline. So what is that? Discipline is a very broad term that involves training, instruction, firm guidance, as well as reproof, correction, and punishment. broad. We find the same word being used in Hebrews 12, verses 5 to 7, to describe the discipline that God brings to us, His children. Let me read these verses for you. And have you forgotten the exhortation, which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline. See, there's the word, same word, the discipline of the Lord. It's not the parent discipline, it's the Lord's discipline. But it's the same word, communicating the same kind of thoughts. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son whom he receives. So we kind of get a sense of the word. It's an action word. Parenting is not passive. The training of children or the discipline of our children is not passive. It's very active. We can't sit back and do nothing. We have to stand up and do something. So we're supposed to bring discipline, the discipline. So what is the second means listed in order to bring our children to maturity besides discipline? The word is instruction. Literally, this word means to put in mind. This word is more limited than the word discipline and emphasizes training by word, whether those words are words of information, explanation, exhortation, or rebuke. Discipline and instruction are the listed means by which we as parents are to bring up our children to maturity. So we're not talking about physical maturity, because otherwise we'd be talking about the husband's role in providing for his family. We're not talking about little children becoming medium-sized children and growing up physically to be big children. We're talking about the spiritual development and the spiritual maturing of children. This is what this is all about, bringing children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It's about bringing them up to maturity. But this is not just any kind of discipline or instruction. Rather, it is a certain kind of discipline and instruction. Or in other words, it is the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So what does this mean? The phrase of the Lord means that the discipline and instruction that we are to provide our children so that they hopefully might grow to Christ-likeness, to spiritual maturity, needs to be proceeding from Him and prescribed by Him. From whom? Who's the Him? God. This is the kind of discipline and this is the kind of instruction that we're to provide for our children if we're going to do our part in bringing up our children to maturity as God Himself would define maturity. So it has to be of the Lord. It just can't be our discipline. It can't be our instruction. It has to be the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It's His instruction. It has to be proceeding from Him and prescribed by Him. So where do we get this kind of this discipline and this kind of instruction that proceeds from the Lord and is prescribed by the Lord? We get this kind of discipline and this kind of instruction when we're bowed before God and His Word with good hearts fully yielded to Him. If we are not bowed before God and His Word in this way, we are not in a position to provide this kind of discipline and instruction. So it goes back to what we've been talking about all morning, both in the first session, the second session, this session. If you're wanted to bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, then where does it start? We got to bow. We got to give our lives up so that He can fill us, so that His life can be lived through us. Apart from that, we can't get it done. What we'll be bringing our children up is in our instruction and our discipline. Do you want to do that? Do I want to do that? Do we want to do that? No! We don't want to do that. So this is where we get it. So the question is, for all of us to answer, is are we presently bowed or not bowed before God and His Word? Because if we're not, then nothing works. If you are, this means that you are in a position to bring your children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And if you're not, then you're not in a position to do that. Randy, what time does this session end? I don't want to go way beyond because I could get on a roll here. 1:45, okay. 11:45. Oh, how about 2:45? Can we negotiate? Okay. Fathers have been given the leading roles of bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is not dealing with the physical side of the development of your children, but with the spiritual side of the development of your children, which we're most interested in. This is the role of the fathers, and the role of the mothers is to assist their husbands in that work. But neither can do this work to the glory of God, displaying His greatness, unless we together are bowed, the mother and the father, before God and his word. But if we're bowed before God and his word, then what happens? The discipline and the instruction of the Lord will begin to flow forth as a light. Okay, pick up this image. When we get our hearts right, we're bowed, then light. We begin to walk in the light. And the light of God begins to be manifested through us. So as we bow, then this discipline and instruction of the Lord begins to flow forth toward our children. Or in other words, they begin to be bathed in the light of God and his word. Through us, his instruments, light. Glorious, bright light. And this, of course, is a wonderful thing. And certainly, the more light, the greater our effectiveness. Correct? Because our children are being exposed to more of God and to more of his word that has been energized and empowered through the Spirit. So we want our children to have what? Lots of what? Light. Otherwise, our children will be stumbling around in darkness. So we want to remove every hindrance we possibly can that might limit or mute the light as we are seeking to bring our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So once we're yielded and bowed, the light is flowing. It's bright. But if we do certain things and act in certain ways, together as mothers and fathers or individually as a mother and father, that light will become muted and become less. And therefore, it becomes less effective. The parental roles of the mother and the father will require them to work, and this requires them to work together. So the parental roles of the mother and the father require them to work together harmoniously with their children in order to achieve the maximum effectiveness, or in other words, the maximum light. So what are some of the ways that this harmony is best achieved? This harmony is best achieved when the husband, in the oversight of his family, strives to love his wife. Okay? If the husband is not striving to love his wife, as it speaks about in Hebrews 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, then the harmony of that home is diminished and the light is diminished within that interaction. So even though we may be bowed before God and the light is flowing, the light is diminished. So we need to be striving at all times to be maturing in the word and in these concepts of the word. So we as husbands need to be continually striving to love our wives, as Christ loved the church, that we might grow in it, so that we would not in any way mute or diminish the light. So one way for us to maximize the effectiveness of our parental roles is for the husband to strive to love his wife. So if husbands are always sincerely and faithfully striving to love their wives in this way, will their wives always feel loved by them? You know the answer, don't you? Every husband here knows the answer, right? The answer is no. I'm not even sure that it's even possible for a wife to always respond or as if, you know, feeling loved, even when the husband is loving her. Okay, this is very biased toward the man right here. Will they feel loved most of the time? Perhaps. I don't know. But this is not the point. The point is that husbands are commanded to do this, and therefore this is what husbands need to be striving to do regardless of how their wives are responding. But if the wives do respond positively, certainly it'll make it much easier for the husbands to work more harmoniously together with their wives in seeking to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, which certainly would in turn increase their effectiveness because it would increase their light. Okay, you got that? You follow that? So husbands, keep at it. The goal is to make your wives feel loved all the time. You may miss that. But you're never supposed to stop striving to love your wife all the time. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. This harmony is also best achieved when the wife is assisting. In her assisting role, strives to be subject to her husband. Or in other words, to honor her husband in all things. Ephesians 5:22-24. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. He himself being the savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also our wives ought to be their husbands in everything. This is what wives are striving to do at all times, to be subject to their husbands, to honor their husbands. This is what every wife here should be striving to do. Now, as with the husbands, this is a very huge challenge, isn't it? Because husbands are difficult. And sometimes they don't even appear too smart. But the requirement is still there. God has put this on us, wives, not me, but on you. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. So if wives are sincerely and faithfully striving to be subject to their husbands in all things, or in other words, to honor their husbands in their leading role at all times, well, the husbands always feel as if they're being honored. What's the answer to that? No. In fact, I'm not even sure if that's possible. But again, this is not the point. The point is that wives have been commanded to do this and therefore need to be striving to do this at all times, regardless of how their husbands are responding. But if the husbands do respond positively, then certainly it'll make it much easier for both the husbands and the wives to work harmoniously together as they seek together to bring up their children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So here we have the marital relationship. So if it's working right and harmoniously, it's going to be able to keep the light flowing in an undiminished way. So we need to strive for that, continually striving for that. Never give up on that. This harmony is also best achieved when both the father and the mother are striving to speak with one voice. Romans 14:19. So then we pursue things that make for peace and the building up of one another. If mothers and fathers do not take the time to speak with one voice in terms of our teachings, in terms of our counsel, or in terms of our offering or not offerings to our children, this can be a problem. We got to speak with one voice. Otherwise, it'll bring up tension within ourselves, confusion within our children, or even upset with our children, which will diminish the light. We need to try to speak with one voice. So we need to continue to strive that. So hopefully we'll take the time to converse and make sure that when we speak, we're speaking with one voice. It'll make it much easier for both the husbands and their wives to work harmoniously together in bringing up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, increasing as much light as possible. If we have rancor in the home, if we have confusion in the home, the light that we are projecting as a bowed mother and father will be diminished. So we need to work at trying to get this thing polished off. The harmony is also best achieved when they, both the father and the mother, are striving not to provoke or to exasperate their children. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, for they will not, so that they will not lose heart. Though both of these admonitions are addressed to fathers, they can also be applied to mothers, since mothers in their assisting role can also be guilty of provoking or exasperating their children. Would all you agree with that? Is any mother here not exasperated your children? Is there any father who has not exasperated your children? This is just what we do, right? Well, we have to stop doing it less. Because the more we exasperate our children or provoke them to anger, then this light that is coming out from us, even if we're bowed, is going to be diminished or muted. We want the full flow of the light that comes from bowed parents to be hitting our children. We don't want to confuse things with all of this noise in the system. And that is part of that, is these behaviors and these attitudes and these words that are so provoking or exasperating. The word provoke means to stimulate one to the point of brooding, simmering, angering that is nurtured and not allowed to die. Poor children. But that is what they're subjected to so oftentimes with parents. Exasperate means to excite the anger or to cause irritation or annoyance. Both of these words are in the present tense, meaning that parents are to take care to not be continually doing this to their children. So we have to really work at this. Would you like to grade yourself out on this area? This is a tough area. I'm just going to give you a list of things. We don't have time to discuss them. Parents can provoke or exasperate their children through overprotection. In other words, not allowing their children to enjoy age-appropriate freedoms. Man, have I seen this so much. These poor kids are not allowed to grow up. No wonder they get mad. Please don't do that to your children. Let them spread their wings and fly when they have wings to spread and fly. Let them fly. Parents can provoke or exasperate their children by demanding from their children what children are not yet able to produce. How many times have we seen that? Sometimes we don't want to have our children grow up, and sometimes we want them to grow up too slowly, and then sometimes we want them to grow up too fast. You know, our children may not be able to rebuild an engine at 5. You know, don't put these kind of pressures on them. You know, look at your children honestly and see them correctly. Parents can provoke or exasperate their children by not treating them with respect in the way they listen to them and the way they talk to them and the way they discipline them, etc., etc. In fact, I believe this is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, fault or breakdown of parents. I think this is horrible what parents do to their children. And I'm speaking from experience. I feel sorry for my son. Do you know how sometimes I got his attention? Do you see this knuckle? I would crack it on the top of his head. I didn't even want to use words. Do you think that was respectful? Do you think that could be provoking? We have much to ask forgiveness for. That, if you're doing that, stop it. I've learned from experience. That's not good. So respect is a big deal. Treat them as we would want to be treated. Listen to them. Talk with them in kind ways. Discipline them. Kind ways. Just as you would want to be disciplined. Kindly. Parents can provoke or exasperate their children by not placing boundaries around their children and consistently enforcing those boundaries, thus producing various fears and insecurities. My. Yes, we don't want to overprotect our children, and certainly we do want to let them fly when they can fly. But we don't want them to throw them out of the nest either. You know, and just say, do whatever you want and let them go, because that does produce a lot of insecurities. When you have a play yard and you have children, if you take away the fences, do you know where all the children go if you take away the fences in a play yard of young children? Where do they go? To the edges? To the streets? They go in because they're insecure. They're afraid. So by putting the boundary, the fence around, and enforce those boundaries, the children are able to spread. They're feeling more secure and at peace within their environment. We need to do that for our children. Parents can provoke or exasperate their children when they are quick to criticize and not to praise. Huge. I mean, how would you like to grow up in a home where there's just criticism, criticism, criticism? Do you think it could lead to a simmering within the child? May God give us grace to not do that. Praise. Will your children ever be harmed with praise? Have you ever seen a child harmed because you said something good about them, sincerely said something good about them? That's a wonderful thing. There are many ways that we as parents can provoke or exasperate our children. Many ways. But if we are going to bring up our children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, it'll be in our best interest and certainly in the best interest of our children if we can, by the grace of God, avoid provoking or exasperating our children unnecessarily. Are you and your spouse, as you are bowed together before God and His Word, working harmoniously together with your children? Or as you, as a single parent, bowed before God, are you working harmoniously with your children? If you are, then you will greatly increase the odds of your children that your children will be better able to respond to your discipline and instruction, because all the noise will be out of the system. The light will be flowing much more powerfully, more like a beacon rather than muted and covered up with towels hindered by our own missteps and our lack of harmony in the home, or our last missteps, our inability to deal with our children. The father's role is to bring up his children in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. The mother's role as his wife is to assist him in the bringing up of their children, as they both would be greatly served in this work by bringing up their children in this way, if they could do so harmoniously. But they certainly will not be able to do any of these things to the glory of God unless they are willing to bow before God in his word with hearts fully yielded to him. Did we communicate that question? Let me do that point clearly. We must, what? Bow. We must be fully yielded with good hearts. These are all things that are extremely important. So the point of this session, this message, is to allow the light that is being released from us as we bow not to be muted or diminished by bad behaviors on our part with our spouses or with our children. We need to allow that light to shine bright. So we need, by the grace of God, to keep striving. Now, at this point in time, you're not going to go for snacks. Are you disappointed? We're going to have a changeover of equipment, and then Randy's going to come up.